In the name of our living Lord and risen Redeemer, Jesus Christ, amen. Our homily this morning is based on the scripture reading that was just read. The people of Christ's day were interested in the weather signs because it affected their lives. This time of year, the weather is often a topic of conversation for all of us. 50 years ago, who would have ever imagined that we would have a 24-hour weather channel with individuals knowing the signs, predicting the weather for the day and even several days in advance? When God gave Moses the command to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses asked, "How will the people know that you have sent me?" Moses was asking, "Show me a sign." Moses demonstrated signs. In the name of Jehovah, by the Ten Commandments that caused Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. When God called Gideon to lead his people against the Midianites, Gideon used the very words, "Show me a sign." And God showed him a sign with the fleece and dew. It was doubting Thomas who wanted a sign and said, "Except I see, I will not believe." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." The people should have been able to say with Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus said that the people of his day knew the weather signs, and they knew what the signs meant. However, Jesus calls them hypocrites because they could predict the weather, and yet they could not predict the time of the coming of the Savior. They were the religious leaders, many of them, and they knew the scriptures. They had the Word of God. They had the Old Testament with all its promises of a Savior. They had the fulfilled prophecies. And yet they still could not see the signs. Jesus gave the people one sign, his own life. They had the person of Jesus in whom they could find no fault. Jesus was there among them with his great preaching and his many miraculous signs. The greatest possible proof that Christ was more than a mere man was not the mere fact that he could feed 5,000 people, that he could walk on the sea, that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. The greatest proof was Jesus himself, that Jesus came from heaven. Yet the people refused to see Jesus himself with their natural eyes, and all the signs pointing to him as the Son of the living God. People are not any different today. People are skeptical of the Bible and what Scripture says concerning Jesus. The majority of people are slow to accept the Christian faith. Over and over, we hear doubters and unbelievers asking for some sign from heaven. Very coincidentally, I was just talking to a man on Tuesday who does not have faith in Jesus Christ, and as I shared the gospel with him, he used those very words saying, "Randy, if I could see a sign from heaven, then I think I could believe that Jesus is who he says he is." We also can have our doubts in life and ask God, "God, give us signs that you are who you are." And we do have the opportunity to demonstrate in our own lives the power of Christ's resurrection in a positive way so that people will want to seek the signs that are found in the Bible. In our text, Jesus says, "Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right?" Can people today judge what is right? Yes, they can. It is even easier today to do it. We have the Word of God complete. We have both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the account of the eyewitnesses. As the Apostle Peter said in his second letter, we have the word of the prophets made more certain. and you will do well to pay attention to it. However, like in Christ's time today, most Christians in our churches don't know the signs that well either. Surveys over the past 30 years show that 50 to 60% of Lutherans do not know that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven and that it's by grace alone. Most Lutherans cannot define justification by faith. On any given Sunday, only 35 to 40% of Lutherans are worshiping our Lord. As pastors and as future pastors, we often fall short, and we often do not see the signs of struggle in our parishioners. Signs that they are struggling in their jobs. Signs that they are struggling in their relationships. Signs that they are struggling in their faith and in their living day by day. As pastors, we often fall short in helping them see the signs because we too often speak in generalities rather than specifics. We will say, pray from the pulpit without teaching them specifically exactly how you do pray to our Father in heaven. We encourage them to have devotions without teaching them how to have devotions, how to read the Bible for growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As pastors and future pastors, it is our responsibility to make sure that the signs are exactly clear for our people. Our text concludes with a word of judgment. The fear of being thrown into prison until every last penny has been paid. In Hebrews we read, the Bible says, man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. In the book of Ecclesiastes we read, whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Like the tree, man will be judged according to the way he falls in death. When a person dies, he is either saved or lost in hell. This is the final division for all people, for you and for me. Suppose, as mentioned in our text, you were charged with a crime and you were being taken to court. Moreover, suppose that you are guilty of the crime. You knew that you were guilty, and you knew that in court you would be found guilty. What would you do? We don't stand a chance in God's court because of our great sins throughout our life. The only thing we can do is to try to get our debt settled before it is too late. And like the disciples and many others, we have already found our solution for our guilt and our many sins. We don't have to worry about the judge. We cling to Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have no fear of the judge because all of our sins have been taken away. There is no prison for any of us this morning. We have only happiness and life eternal in the home of our Heavenly Father. And Jesus tells us how to pay the very last penny for all of our sins. Jesus extended His gracious invitation to all, and He extends that invitation to you and to me this morning with the words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." John has written, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Payment for our sins is totally by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Praise God that He has provided the solution for our judgment. Praise God that we daily have the opportunity to share the signs of salvation with each other and with others who have not heard or seen those signs of salvation. We know that in God's great court, there can be only one verdict spoken over all of us. And that verdict is not guilty. For we have been judged not guilty for the sake of our Redeemer and Savior, who shed His blood in our place. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the many wonderful signs in His Word. Amen.